on CW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Before you checked yourself in here, you were working as an exorcist and master of the dark arts.
That says master, does it? Well, I should really change that to petty dabbler, I hate to put on it.
Bollocks.
I'm addressing the entity inside.
Hear my words!
What is up, everybody? You are listening to DC on CW, the Constantine Edition on Rayman Digital. If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rayman Digital app, available on the iTunes and Google Play Store. Simply search Rayman Digital. You can find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. Once you're there, go ahead and leave us a review. It helps us out. Today, we will be discussing and breaking down A Whole New World, Episode 1, Season 11. We're getting there towards the end. And if you're a Constantine fan, don't worry. It won't be the end of Constantine on this network. We have some things planned here. It's October at the time we're recording this. And I think we have at least one movie planned to come back, one of the animated features.
Yeah, I may have a few Halloween specials up my sleeve that involve Constantine.
So, you know, if you're a fan of this show, make sure you're following along on Rayman Digital, and we're going to be releasing more Constantine content because we can't get enough of them.
Yeah, rewatching this, and we did touch on this a bit last week, but watching this episode, every episode of Constantine, it just makes me miss the show and realize how much of a ball kick it was to just end the show the way they did and only give us one season to begin with.
And unfortunately, I am getting to that moment to where I am getting to where the boot is about to hit my nuts.
Yeah.
It's
a ball buster.
It is definitely a ball buster now that I've officially finished the season. Me being a first time watcher of any of these shows, I am getting there to the point where I'm in pain, looking for more.
Stomach's hurting ball went all the way up to your throat.
Yeah. I mean, it was a pointed shoe. It just sucked. So, I mean, it is.
I'm glad you guys are all experiencing my pain. Yeah. I said the same thing to Lauren. I'm like, Lauren, now you know my pain.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Luckily, though, Legends is starting and we get John there.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I know it's like a different flavor of John. It's going to be John Light, not John NBC Constantine. So, you know, we'll look forward to breaking down those episodes when he comes along.
Yeah.
So in today's episode called A Whole New World Out There, John investigates and teams up with a former colleague when four of that colleague's students cast a spell and sends their souls to another dimension. This was directed by Tom Wright, written by David Scarlett and Sinead Corse. So, I mean, I am getting into like my fourth year of breaking down TV shows.
Has it been that long already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Scary. because we're going to the fourth year of Legends, fourth year Supergirl. I started at the beginning of those. So.
Please don't depress me.
Yeah. I've been doing this for a while now.
Wow.
And normally when we get to this point in a season, we know more about the big bad. And I think that's one of the issues I was starting to have with this show is that it's very procedural. You know, we know that the darkness is out there, but we're not seeing a lot of it. It's just like growing and it's going through those motions of, you know, the villain of the week or the dot on the map of the week. And we're not really getting into the big bad. And I don't know if I'm the only one that kind of feels that way about it, but I feel like if this was really a full season or even a partial season, as far as we know, you know, where, you know, the normally the first season's like 16 episodes and it'll get a full run of 22, 23 the second season, I feel like we're not that much into who this big bad was and what is he doing and the overall goal of what's going on. And I might be reading this wrong, and you can let me know, but it just seems kind of lackluster for me.
It might have been the problem with the show from the network angle.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it works because I overanalyze things, and I see the bigger picture but not everyone's like that. The mainstream needs to be fed things pretty fast. I think I discussed this on episode 8 with Lauren. The procedural element was a part that I didn't really care for when I first watched, because we already have a lot of shows like that. I get that it's a template or a format that a lot of TV audiences that watch NBC understand, and they can digest that a lot easier than a show that's
the home of Law and Order.
Right. Exactly. So I understand why they went that route. And the comic books, Hellblazer, even the later versions in the New 52, they also are technically procedural. He's tackling cases, you know, for 3 to 4 issues. So I understand why they did it, but it didn't work for me either until I believe episode 8 with that 2-parter. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly I realized, oh, I see what they're working towards. And even though, yes, everything has been essentially a monster of the week, it's all connected through that whole string of the Rising Darkness, because the Rising Darkness is their myth arc for the season. And we were clued into the idea that the Brujeria, they are the big bad, essentially.
I'm glad you say that word, not me.
I've been practicing. So because of that, and connecting the Brujeria with the Monster of the Weeks, because they connected those dots, now in retrospect, the procedural element works for me. But initially watching those first 8 episodes, it was rough because I wanted the big bad. I wanted something that we could really sink our teeth in. And maybe they screwed up in that aspect because people are not impatient, but especially with mainstream, they have been
conditioned.
Thank you. Conditioned to expect certain things. And maybe that's the reason why the show ended up getting canceled, because the 8th episode came too soon. Maybe if they pushed the idea of the Brujeria much earlier, along with the idea of them being connected to the Rising Darkness.
Yeah. And again, it was just a me thing to where I was like, all right, well.
And I get it. I 100% understand where you're coming from.
And especially if you knew you only had 13 episodes. Like
I think they were originally going to get more, though.
As much as you want the back 9, as they call it, I would almost
plan for the 13
and adjust. Because we've seen them rearrange shows in this season to where, you know, it didn't fit because of something that happened in the world and they wanted to move this, or like the pilot episode when it didn't work out and they brought in this episode earlier because of Zed and all these other things that were rearranged. You know, you could have, okay, finished 13. And then had that be technically the finale.
That's valid.
And then pushed it out and had filler to get to that finale. So.
Yeah. And you bring up a great point with the reset as well. The show, the pilot going into the episode 2 was almost like a second pilot.
Yeah.
Reintroducing new concepts and new characters, and almost
season 1, season 2 it right there.
Yeah. So that also might have put people off, because I think a lot of people were expecting to continue the storyline involving the girl and her father that was so connected into that hideout, their hangout spot, their Hall of Justice, essentially. So I think it kind of put some people off. I know, even being a Constantine fan, when I watched that second episode, I looked over at my wife and said, all right, what are they doing?
Yeah.
This is another pilot.
And it was weird because when me and Lauren initially broke it down, she had watched like the first 3 or 4 and I hadn't seen any of them.
Yeah.
And so it was like, wait, this changes? What the hell? Like,
yeah.
That's a weird. I mean,
when you're expecting audiences to tune in every week, they feel like you're watching something regurgitated.
Yeah.
Just kind of slightly skewed a different way.
Yeah, and normally, like, I'm used to recasting people that from pilots, because we all know sometimes it's a year earlier and they get something better and they move on. But for them to kind of redo the whole show, I mean, again, I'm not complaining, because everything I've watched so far has been kind of some of the better TV I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it's solid.
But
you're also binging, so you can appreciate the future episodes. But when you're going week to week, the audiences are going to lose interest.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You have a valid point. Perhaps they should have introduced these ideas a little sooner.
Just it's something. Even if it was just the last 5 minutes of every episode, You know, and it just seems like there's been inconsistencies, even with like the Zed storyline with her parents or her father. It comes, it goes. We don't see anything of it. Do we ever worry about it again? Well, obviously not, because I've seen all 13 now. You know, it's just some of those decisions that were made, you know, that probably could have made this a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
But as we get into this week's episode, you know, we start off with John and his sorrow, you know, and he makes some statements in here that are pretty good. Him and Manny have this interaction as John's looking into this, you know, this mirror that's letting him look into like his shitty past. And, you know, Manny comes in and goes, "What are you doing? We have a job." He's like, "Even God rest, you know, but God was done.
God created the universe and then took a break."
Then took a break. Is that what the quote was?
Yeah.
It was something like that. It was like, oh my gosh, that is so great. And, you know, you see Constantine actually feeling sorry for himself for like the first time. And we see Manny give him direction, which Manny has been very hands off to this point, to where it's just like kind of disappearing and talking and kind of in riddles and not really giving any kind of idea of what John is here for. We see Manny kind of say, "Hey, you need to go check on your friend, or you need to go look at this." And it's the first time we see it. But getting back to that mirror, as a, like, I would never want to sit there and stare into a mirror that just brings up horrible things from my past.
Yeah. Especially, you know, that's basically what, a gateway into the past, and yeah, he sees his friend in there, yeah, right? Yeah. What if his friend was naked at one point, just walking around naked, jerking it, and now it's forever, you know, being viewed through this mirror? That's embarrassing moments.
Yeah. Well, and what they did with that mirror was they kind of set up some of the things we see later on in the episode with the dimensions, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but how the mirror is like a reflection of other things that are out there. So they set up the mirror early, kind of saying, "Hey, look, we can see in the other things with the mirror," and then kind of brought it back a little bit later.
Yeah. It worked. And the interaction with Manny and John that you had touched on, I really love the slow burn of that relationship. Manny is one of the things that they introduced into Constantine that was, he was never a part of the comic books at no point. Did John interact with angels? Yes, absolutely. But not this particular one. And I feel like typically, I think you should probably stay true to your source material when you're dealing with a show like this. But whatever, for whatever reason that they decide to go with this, ultimately the relationship they are slow building between the two of them that started out as contentious, not a lot of respect there, and to see it slowly grow and evolve, yeah, to the point where even Manny is willing to bend the rules of heaven to assist in his own way.
Yeah.
Almost like finding loopholes to assist.
Mm-hmm.
And then he feels guilty when he breaks the rules and just disappears, which I started laughing when he did that.
Yeah. And
it works.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we've seen that before. We saw an Arrow with Diggle. Diggle wasn't a real character, but they needed something for Oliver Queen to kind of interact with and to grow. And we're seeing that same thing going on with Constantine and Manny right now.
Yeah, and it shows the Kool-Aid syndrome that John Constantine has on people. You always hear about, yes, these people that, why would you trust him? He did this at Newcastle. Meanwhile, he gets more and more people roped up because there's something special about him. He has the ability to save people and the world. There's an importance on this character that is larger than life, but he is a character that battles internal demons. So to see that even an angel can fall victim to drinking John Constantine's Kool-Aid,
yeah,
I feel like it does a lot for the character of John Constantine in this TV show. It says a lot about him that he can win people over.
Yeah, and we see that later on in the episode because we get reintroduced to Richie Simpson, who was in the pilot episode. If you guys don't remember, he was kind of the computer hacker that was bringing down the Atlanta electric grid.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see like kind of some animosity between the two of them, that John shows up in his classroom and Richie,
like a pimp.
Yeah. And Richie's just kind of probably the worst teacher I've ever seen because he's playing from a fucking, you know.
I was thinking the same thing.
Like, how lazy is that? You know, his lectures are pre-recorded. He ain't talking to anybody. But you, like you said, John's in there like a pimp hitting on college girls.
Yeah.
You know.
Beat up on,
yeah,
the chair.
Yeah. Just kind of throwing Richie off. But you see that struggle between, we didn't really see it in that first episode between the two of them, to where, you know, we knew they had a past, but we didn't know it was kind of like, "Hey, leave me the fuck alone" type past.
Yeah.
But he's able to win Richie back. Like, he's able to kind of make him drink the Kool-Aid like you talked about, you know, and it just shows no matter how bad, you know, friends don't want him around, they all fall back into like his spell, let's say.
Yeah.
And he's able to convince them to do what he's needed. And, you know, we find out that Richie is kind of given up on his dreams, I'm going to say, because he's not monitoring the darkness like he was. And I think that was part of why he was so depressed, because as throughout the episode, you see him open up more and more as he's getting into it. It's almost like a Ghostbuster that's not hunting ghosts anymore.
Yeah.
And magically something comes along and is like, wow, this is why I got into this. Yeah. This is the exciting part of
his
it.
His true purpose as well. Like, this is what he should be doing.
Yeah. And they did a good job of building that up. And it's almost kind of like what we saw with Manny over the season. Richie just kind of slowly just starts opening up to Constantine and going and falling into like the ways of the way of the world of the way it was before, you know, everything happened between the two of them.
To me, that was the strength of this episode, despite the many cool wow factors of the other dimensions mm-hmm. and things that you mentioned pertaining to the mirror. But one of the strengths for me in this episode was, and not just this episode, but also this the show in general, is the introduction of Constantine being kind of repaired. You introduce Constantine superficially, I should say, mm-hmm. where, hey, he's a cold-hearted bastard. He doesn't think of other people. But then suddenly, as we go through these episodes, we realize that he actually does. There is a method to the madness. He does care. He does certain things that may be questionable, but it is for the greater good. And he's willing to do those things. He's willing to risk his own soul, essentially, to save people. And the strength of this episode was that moment when Richie Simpson realized this. When they were talking outside, he says, you know what? I finally get it. I finally get what you go through, feeling responsible for these people's deaths, and that knowing that you were just trying to do the right thing. I felt like that was almost a moment where the writers are talking to the audience.
Yeah.
Maybe those people who still might not quite be on board with the Constantine train. You know, they're used to the superheroes that are just good and they don't do these questionable things. But then they're slow building and making people realize, well, Constantine does care. He just has a different method. And by bringing this character who absolutely did not like him
yeah.
in the pilot, and now flash forward to, you know, towards the end of the season, we have that moment between the two of them where there is a bit of resolve between their issues.
Yeah, and like you said, Richie actually is going through something with his students there that yeah. Constantine has kind of lived also.
Yep.
That, you know, oh, shit, these people have got this book from me and they're doing these spells and now I've lost some of their souls forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guilt was there. And I think that was like that moment of clarity for him. If you've never, you know, like walk a mile in my shoes or, yep. you know, whatever cheesy terms there are for those type of things, you know, that's what they kind of ran into here was, hey, you know, John is a good dude. He's my friend overall. I mean, I think we all have those friends to where you're just like, you're a shithead. But I like you, so we're going to go ahead and do whatever.
Are we talking about Ryan?
I did not say Ryan's name out loud. All right.
Funny.
But, yeah, I deal with that all the time. Ryan makes me more angry than any man I've ever met in my life, but he is still one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And
Hey, look. I can read the subtext. I get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Everything's about Ryan, and I come on the radio and I mask it to vent. This is my therapy session. I'm actually laying on the couch right now. With that, let's take a quick break, and when we get back, we'll get further in the episode.
You bastards are going to own me.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturday.
The biblical allegories that we talked about last week with the innocence, like much like we saw with the first creations, Adam and Eve, that I think definitely connects to the general theme of Westworld.
What is that, you might ask? For me, first second that happened, I was like, hey, that probably has something to do with kryptonite. Darth Vader could not open the crystal. Kanan cannot open the crystal. Ahsoka cannot open the crystal, okay? The reason why I'm pointing this out in this episode, what does the Bendu do? He takes the
starting
thing.
Starting point and an ending point, and it told its story pretty damn well. There's a couple gripes or a few little changes that anybody on the internet or ourselves have talked about, but overall, season 11 was great. I look back at season 10 now with...
Catch up on your favorite Rayman Digital Geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rayman Channel 001. Listen for the Rayman Digital app or tune in. Just search RM Channel 001.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, DEAL30, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her,
ooh,
and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And for your viewing pleasure, 6 free spicy movies on DVD, plus
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. So go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code DEAL30. Again, that's DEAL30, because without it, no free stuff. That's DEAL30 at adamandeve.com.
Are back. So we get into other dimensions and kind of like mirror like games in this episode. You know, the big bad of the week was released by a spell that can kind of pull you into other dimensions, and this was very much like a Freddy Krueger Bloody Mary type feel to me, even from the beginning. Did you ever play that game when you were young?
Are you kidding me? No. No way. I'm too much of a pussy to play those types of games.
And I was like, when I said Bloody Mary, I was like, I don't even know if people know what that is anymore. But my version, when I was in elementary school, was you shut off the lights in the bathroom, you spun around, flushed the toilet, and said Bloody Mary like 5 times in the mirror, and she supposedly appeared.
Did you do that shit?
Yeah.
Did she ever appear?
Well, of course, because you're dizzy and you just think you see blobs. Little I know about other things that go on in the physical, in your body when lights get flashed on and off while you're spinning.
Yeah. You better watch your back. I think she appeared.
Yes. I'm actually seeing her in the reflection of the tablet that's on the desk.
Oh, please. Now, mirror stuff freak me out.
Oh, yeah. And they use those are the best jump scares for me.
Yeah.
When they use it. And it's such a simple kind of trick. It's nothing spectacular. It's just like a dude appears in a mirror. And it makes you jump all the time. And the one that stands out for me the most is when the girl's like, I'm going to go burn off some steam and do some dancing. One, I didn't know why she was dancing in the dark, And
that's sexy. That's why.
Yeah.
It's a horror movie as well. So technically, there's no reasons behind certain things.
Yeah.
Why you go upstairs rather than running outside the front door.
Yeah.
It's classic horror genre 101.
It's classic scary movie.
Yeah.
Let me poke fun at you.
There's jokes like that for a reason.
Yeah. And, when she's dancing and she's not paying attention and basically, the guy shows up with his knife and it's able to suck you into his dimension through that. And now, I'm going back to all the, Nightmare on Elm Street type things. And relating this back to almost like the Matrix, to where you get pulled in. And if you die in the Matrix, you die in real life. And the way that these scenes were shot, where he's slicing them and you see these guts and throat slit and opened up in real life, it creeped the hell out of me, especially when they ran into the tomb and the guy's trying to figure out what's going on. And he ends up getting cut up and John's trying to save him from the cuts from the other dimension. It again, they've done such a good job with not over CGIing this, where it's use of the corn syrup blood camera tricks and like you said, classic horror film type scenarios.
Yeah.
So we find out that other dimension is controlled by this killer, and he's made it a violent one. And John is spending his time trying to convince Richie that, hey, you know, we need to go save him. And when they get there, even like the walking and everything, the sound kind of puts you into that creepy, like haunted house mode of like, yeah. I hear things going on, but I don't want to keep going. But they keep walking through the house and I'm blacklading it, yelling at the screen like, don't go there.
He's right there looking over your shoulder.
I see him.
Open your eyes.
Run. It makes me anxious. Like, I don't like horror films and I don't like gore.
Oh, really? You don't?
No, it, dude,
I didn't know that about
dude,
you.
Dude, it makes me anxious. Like, yeah. My anxiety gets at like an all time high when it comes to that stuff.
Especially when it comes to things dealing with mirrors and having the ability to essentially go to the other side.
Yes.
There are so many stories in folklore where reflections, and if you stare at yourself too long, that's when suddenly you tempt whatever is holding the keys to another dimension on the other side, and it sucks you into this other world where it's not quite like your reality. Everything's twisted.
Yeah.
Essentially the upside down world from Stranger Things.
Or Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. And those things have always been very eerie. It's very unsettling. There's tons of stories where people tell you do not stare at your own reflection for more than 5 to 10 minutes because something unearthly can happen. You can be sucked into another world. You are tempting the spirits. And because of that, because of those stories I read when I was 12, 13 years old.
That's why you never did Bloody Mary.
I never did Bloody Mary. And I very seldom make eye contact when I'm passing a mirror in my home at night. I talked about this in our Supernatural show. I will avoid any type of mirrors at night. I'll just, even my peripheral vision, fuck that, because they say things pop up in your peripheral vision when it comes to mirrors as well.
Yeah.
So because there's so much, you know, supernatural type stories connected to mirrors and the worlds behind them.
Yeah.
Fuck no, dude.
That's hilarious.
That's why.
So you don't drive. I don't drive at night because I don't want to check my rearview mirror.
No, dude, are you kidding me? I do the review where you look, you know, the one where you can only see lights at night, where you
flip
pop
it up.
That little switch and it only allows you to see headlights and that's it. That's all. That's all I use.
It's amazing how a TV and movie has kind of made us aware of something that's probably not real.
Like, oh, it's
even,
real.
Even going back to looking in the rearview mirror where you think somebody's in the back seat and they're not there, and then you look in the rearview mirror and you get cut.
Well, they say that when you think you see something, it's because it was really there for a split second.
I thought it was a glitch in the Matrix.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That too.
Well, you know what? I like that idea better because it's not as scary.
It's being plugged into as batteries for computers that have taken over the world.
I'd rather that.
It's much less scary.
I'd rather not know anything than know that something was there. But that's why my irrational fear of mirrors, that's why it's not just me. There's millions of people across the world who have this irrational fear of their reflection and mirrors in general. And that's why these types of things work so well in paranormal type shows.
Doesn't like Jehovah's Witnesses like not like pictures and things like that?
What?
I believe
I've
that's
never
true.
Heard that.
I don't think I'm making that up because I really don't make up things. I just
I've never heard
hear
that.
Things and like I think that's why Prince never wanted his picture taken and,
what?
And all this other shit.
I think Prince was just a weirdo. Or he knew something the rest of us didn't.
He didn't want to look in mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they set up this mood as we get to this house, and you know, it was creepy. The filter that they had over the camera,
so good,
was perfect because especially when Richie is convinced that he can take it over, that he is strong enough, and they remove that filter, and he's like, "We need sunshine," you know, and the doors to the house open, and these fields come out of. And at first, I was like,
"Did you think that was going to end badly? Did you think he was going to have some type of God syndrome where he now became this villain because of the power that he could wield?"
Not that. Okay, so not that he was going to become a villain. I expected him to want to stay because of just him being some kind of loner and wanting to get away. Because I would almost feel the same way, that if I had control over this other dimension, that I didn't have to be in the world where I'm watching them call Kanye a Negro on TV and the news and Trump and like hear all this just negative shit my whole life. If I could create my own perfect world and be by myself, I would strongly consider staying. And I thought that's what we were getting here, was that, you know, Richie was just going to be like, you know what, John, peace. And like we talked about, what's the house really called in the comics and the show?
The House of Mystery.
The House of Mystery. I thought this was going to be the House of Mystery.
Yeah, so did I. I was actually hoping it was, because even though the house they have currently is essentially that, I thought they were borrowing – I'm pretty sure they were borrowing elements from the whole idea of the House of Mystery. And if people don't know what that is, that's basically in the Justice League Dark series. The House of Mystery is essentially their hangout, their headquarters, where they plan and plot and figure out exactly how they're going to defeat whatever villain they're fighting.
Yeah.
So, and it's in the middle, it's in the nexus of Limbo, and it can travel through Limbo.
Yeah. And the house moves.
Yeah, the house moves. It's sentient. So I kind of figured that they were borrowing elements from that to create this dimensional house, this interdimensional home.
Yeah. And that's what I thought we were getting here when it came around. And I honestly, I would stay. If I could pull in like other friends and family and just like get everybody away from the bullshit of the world.
Why bring in friends and family if you can make up your own friends and family in that world? I would just create a bunch of hot chicks. Be like, all right, hot chicks 1 and 2 and 3. They don't even get names. It's just hot chick 1, 2, and 3.
So interdimensional Playboy mansion.
Yeah. And I know that sounds very sexist, but in my world, there sexism isn't a thing. It doesn't.
Yeah. Why would I introduce that into a world that I control?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't exist. Therefore, I'm not sexist and I'm not misogynistic.
Yes.
Because it's my world. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. If it's your world, why are you going to introduce things like...
Lauren just walked into the studio. Shake your head yes or no if it's sexist. she agrees with me. She shook her head no.
Is that what agreeing means? No.
In my world, yes.
It's my world, damn it. I control this dimension. So let's get into some final thoughts on this. For me, it was a strong episode of, again, procedural type. I don't think it advanced the main storyline enough for me to be like, oh my gosh, I love this. Let me watch next week. It could have been plugged in for me anywhere in the story, you know, from after episode 2, basically, and it would have worked out the same. The growth of Manny and John, you know, their relationship has moved on a lot, and I did appreciate that. And again, I like the episodes that make me ask the questions like we just talked about. If I had control of another dimension and I was able to create these beautiful houses and sunsets and all this other stuff, would I really want to come back? Unfortunately, probably not, because there's so many shitty things in the world we live in. Why not just stay and be like, okay, I'm good here. John, if you need me, you can come visit. So,
yeah.
What you think?
I felt like it was an A episode. Yeah, it didn't really push the main myth arc forward. I absolutely agree with that. However, I feel like they are working continually each episode with the perception of Constantine. As I said earlier in the show, you're introduced to this character who is a bastard. That's the whole thing. That is what Constantine is. But there's also redeeming qualities about him. He is, at his core, a good person. And I feel like this is one of those episodes that really drive home that point. And by utilizing Richie to be the one that realizes, finally, you know what? And he even says the line, I finally get it. I understand how you feel. And that, in a lot of ways, as I said, is the writers talking to the audience saying, hey, look, this is an introspective type episode. That's why it started with a mirror, you know, where he essentially is sad about the past, and just he's there drinking alcohol, staring at the mirror that looks into the past. That's beautiful symbolism, and just it's poetic as fuck.
Yeah.
So for me, the episode was strong. But in retrospect, we have 13 fucking episodes, bro. Let's get into the meat of the myth arc. That's ultimately how I look at it, though, too.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for today's DC on CW Constantine edition. Remember, you can always catch any past or future episodes through that Rayman digital app.
I'll walk my path alone, because let's be honest, it would be crazy enough to walk it with me.